Hello and welcome to Voyage to the Wild, the podcast documenting my journey as I sail around the planet in search of extraordinary wildlife and the remarkable people working to protect it. My name is Charlie Young and I am a marine scientist and your host for this series. And together, we are going to venture off the beaten track to explore some of the wildest places on Earth. Coming up in this week's episode. I'm setting sail from Cape Verde and embarking on a passage to mainland West Africa. Looking back, the island of Boa Vista was fading into the haze of the Harmattan behind us. For 3 hours, we had been fore-reaching into the strong northeasterly trade winds that had battered us with choppy seas since rounding the southern tip. Feral bucked and reared as each short, sharp wave hit her bows, sending her into a hobbyhorsing frenzy. We were warned by other sailors that this passage could be challenging. One cruiser we met said it was 4 days of hell. Exactly what you don't want to hear before embarking on a passage. As we fought to put distance between Feral and the shore, I stared into the distance hoping to see an end to the chaotic seas and any sign of the more organized rhythm of the open ocean swell. My gaze was broken when Alexei, my partner and captain, let out the dreaded words, "Oh no." "What?" I asked with hesitation. Pointing to the top of the mast, I could see him gesturing towards a lashing unweaving itself. But not just any lashing. Just the one that holds the peak halyard, which is used to raise the gaff and mainsail. If it broke, the sail could fall and cause all sorts of damage. Jumping into action, Alexis grabbed his climbing kit. Taking the helm, I steered Feral directly into the wind to take the power out of the sails. Dropping the mainsail, Alexei began his ascent to the top of the mast. Without sails to support her, Feral was at the mercy of the violent chop that persisted. I watched anxiously as Alexis was thrown around like a puppet on a string, suspended 9 meters above deck as he retied the lashing. Each wave inched us more and more onto the beam, tipping and jerking Feral in all directions. So much so it felt like riding a malfunctioning seesaw. Taking a deep breath, I focused and saw Alexei coming back down the mast. With the lashing successfully reattached, we hoisted sails once again and resumed our course. Instantly, Feral strided into a strong gallop forwards, finding her balance amongst the confused seas. Thankfully, it wasn't long before my dream of more organized seas arrived. The white caps finally subsided, and the sea flattened into a rhythmic rolling swell. Feral fizzed with happiness, one of the telltale signs she is sailing well. Half an hour later, a series of blows sounded out of the blue. Dark, glossy shapes appeared at the surface of our port hull, and I recognized it as a pod of pilot whales. They were heading straight towards us. Having spent a lot of time with these deep-diving cetaceans in the Canary Islands, this was the first time I had spotted them in Cape Verde's waters, and I was extremely excited to see them. Rushing to the logbook, I made a note of the coordinates, group size and behavior, something I do for all the wildlife I spot. By the time I headed back outside, they were already disappearing into the distance out the back of the boat, peacefully cruising south as we headed east. I thanked the ocean for the visit. As night fell and the conditions eased, Feral made great progress. Taking shifts, Alexis and I kept watch throughout the night, rotating every 3 to 4 hours. When it was time to sleep, I curled up in my favorite spot on deck, wrapped in my wet weather gear and snug in my sleeping bag. I don't know why, but my favorite place to sleep is on deck. Maybe it's the feeling of the cool sea breeze rushing over my face, or the sound of water rushing over Feral's hulls. But something about it is so soothing, Settling into sleep, I gazed at the dense carpet of stars above. Far from any light pollution, the Milky Way shone bright like a dust band of diamonds etched across the sky. Before falling asleep, I counted at least 12 shooting stars, and one colossal fireball that glowed green as it burned through the atmosphere. After a few hours' rest, Alexei woke me up and I began my morning watch. Feral's wooden deck was soaked with moisture from the night, and so was I for that matter. Grabbing a cup of coffee, I watched as the sun rose on our second day at sea. Soft hues of pastel orange and blue filled the sky. Feral had continued to sail beautifully throughout the night, without any sail changes needed. When it was time to make our entry in the logbook, we realized we were making much better progress than we expected. And so far, it really hadn't been the hell that the other cruiser had described. The rest of the second day passed with little to report. Alexis and I spent the time as we usually do, cooking and eating delicious food, chatting, reading books and discussing, daydreaming and just generally watching the world go by. Without any signal or internet, we were once again completely disconnected from the world. And I was loving it. Complete disconnection is a rare thing these days. When I first started sailing, this aspect of offshore passages daunted me. I was worried about getting bored. But as I have come to know, learning how to deal with boredom has been one of the greatest lessons from my time spent at sea. Having to find occupation where there are limited options tests your creativity. Learning to sit still and simply be idle has taught me a lot about patience. After each passage, I genuinely feel my mind is refreshed and I notice my productivity soar. But the reality is that most of us never experience this. With smartphones, we are always connected. And most of us can't go a few minutes without some sort of occupation or distraction. It's not doing our brains any good. More and more science is pointing towards boredom as an incredibly important and healthy emotion to experience. And extended times off our screens immersed in wilderness is a very potent thing. 2 days into the journey, and I was already feeling the benefits of the detox. By dawn of the third day, we had passed the halfway mark. In the evening, the conditions had piped up, forcing us to take a reef in the mainsail. With the wind direction changing slightly more north, a few rogue waves had pounded into the side of Feral, sending spray over the deck and me in my sleeping bag. During the night, we heard an impact and splitting sound, but in the darkness and haze of drowsiness, we couldn't identify what it was. Peering under the boat with the first light, I noticed a missing gunwale on the inside of the starboard hull. The impact of one of those rogue waves had knocked it clean off. But by some miracle, the contents stored under the deck hadn't fell out. For now, we'd have to wait for landfall to fix it. That afternoon, whilst lazily sunning myself like an iguana after a saltwater shower, I was woken from my snooze by Alexei as he cried out, "Shark!" Sitting up abruptly, I scanned the water where he was pointing and saw the distinctive dorsal fin of a shark cutting through the water. Dusted white like it had been dipped in paint and slightly rounded like a paddle, I instantly recognized it. An oceanic white tip. These sharks are critically endangered and patrol the open ocean far offshore, from the surface to as deep as 1,000 meters. Cruising close to the boat, I could see its grey skin sparkle in the afternoon light, and its large bronze eye watching us with a focused and unbroken stare. It was a sizable individual, definitely an adult, and at least 3 meters in length. Attempting miserably to take a video with my iPhone, I soon gave up as the waves concealed the shark and it disappeared from view. Looking at each other, Alexei and I let out some excited whoops and settled in for another night at sea. The dawn of the fourth day erupted in a spectacular show unlike any I have seen. The horizon glowed a deep orange, and the sun rose like a molten hot ball into the skies above. Now within 12 nautical miles of the coast of Senegal, I considered this my first African sunrise. A wave of emotion hit me. It was a moment I had waited my whole life for. Ever since I was a child, I had dreamt of stepping foot in Africa, One day I vowed to make it there. And after 31 laps around the sun and countless years dreaming, it was finally becoming a reality. Bearing off southeast towards Banjul, the capital of Gambia, the winds began to die as we sailed behind the tip of Dakar. Hoisting full sails, we inched along at a snail's pace in the light winds, only aware we were moving because of the speed given on our navigation app. Despite the slow progress, these calm seas were a welcomed break from the wild ride here. But these calmer waters brought about their own problems. The faint sound of an outboard broke the silence. In the distance, a series of fishing pirogues speeded around ahead of us. Small, faint shapes of flags and buoys began to appear, the telltale sign of fishing nets. We had heard stories of cruisers getting caught in nets here, but we hoped our shallow draft would mean we'd cruise over them. Yet each one we passed with bated breath. When the sun reached its highest point, we noticed a pirogue heading straight towards us. With Ferrell sailing less than 3 knots, they were alongside and rafting with us within minutes. The boat contained 4 Senegalese fishermen dressed for winter with bobble hats and overalls, despite it being a toasty 30 degrees outside. They were friendly and seemed impressed by Ferrell, and were extremely curious of where we had come from. They then turned their attention to what might be inside the boat. First, they asked for some tobacco. When we said we didn't smoke, they seemed a bit shocked, and so instead asked for alcohol. Unfortunately for them, even our emergency rum stash had been consumed, and with nothing much to give, we offered water. Despite hoping for more, they accepted graciously, and we parted with happy smiles and waves as they sped offshore. This scene repeated itself a number of times as we traversed the coast towards Banjul, and each time, I was amazed at how small their boats are. These fishermen head offshore in pencil-wide wooden pirogues loaded with nets, an outboard, and just a few jerry cans of fuel to do their fishing and get home. They stay out there all day and in all kinds of weather. If ever I felt Ferrell was basic, well, she now felt like a floating palace rafting alongside them. It's a moment which gifted me an important perspective on my privilege of living this life. Having successfully navigated through miles and miles of nets all day, I thought the end was in sight when Banjul appeared on the horizon ahead of us. It had never occurred to me that in fact there might be more boats, more nets, and more fishermen than anywhere else right at the mouth of the river. With no choice but to enter the maze of fishing pirogues, Alexis took the tiller and I set myself up at the bow with binoculars to try and find a safe path through. It was a confusing mess of activity, and the sun was setting fast. I could see some boats setting nets, others retrieving. Some boats looked anchored, their crews huddled around fires on deck drinking tea. Giving directions, we weaved through the circus of moving obstacles, coming close to a couple of boats and nets. Once clearing the maze, we buzzed with excitement and cruised swiftly past the capital, entering the winding tributaries of the mangrove forest. Ferrell sailed through the still waters like a knife cutting through velvet. Setting the spotlight on the water ahead, schools and schools of fish passed beneath our bows, and bioluminescence glowed in our wake. Soon we turned the corner and arrived at our destination, Lamin Lodge. Dropping anchor in the darkness, we both jumped into bed with the sound of cicadas to lull us to sleep. That night I slept better than I've ever slept before. When I woke, I felt as though I was in a dream. The scene around us was magical. Dense mangroves spanned as far as the eye could see. The air was full with a cacophony of animal sounds. Birds chirped and squawked from all around us. Monkeys barked and leaped between branches in the distance. Insects buzzed lazily past my ears, swirling in the cool morning air. We had arrived in Africa. My heart and head wanted to explode. It was everything I had ever imagined and more. And so began the next chapter. of my voyage to the wild.
That's it for this week. Don't forget to hit the follow button wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And if you want to see more of the adventure, you can find me on Instagram. Just follow the link in the description below. And until next time, fair winds and smooth sailing.